From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Michigan, I'm Duran Martinez, your host, as we have been for almost 15 years here on the Michigan Talk Network. And I believe it's been that long, but because of great people like Not Just Guns at Cedar Street 127 in Mason, that is Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, notjustguns.com is their website. We are here and still coming to you. We're very happy about that. And Mike Green and everybody over there does a great job, man. Their Wednesday night auctions are huge. Look them up. There's a link on our website. Make sure you go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Click on the link for Not Just Guns. That way they know that you are coming from here, from us, to their auction or to their website to find out what they have. Also, you can do the same thing for our friends at Conquest Sense, makers of Evercalm and VS1, plus a lot of other great products coming from Doug and Karen Roberts. They're live deer cams for the Conquest Sense properties out there. And some of the biggest doggone white-tailed deer you will ever see in life or captivity. You can find them on the Conquest Sense website. Also, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan on board with us. Very happy to have them on and educating folks in the truth about CWD. They're putting a lot of money into CWD research, and you can find that at thetruthaboutcwd.com, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And on the Conquest Sense hotline, without further ado, we're going to speak with Ed Shaw, interpreter for the Michigan DNR at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center up in Cadillac. And Ed, you say the doors are getting ready to open. What a great time to have you back on, man. How are you?
Perfect timing. I'm just glad to be back to work, sitting here between the shores of Lake Mitchell and Lake Cadillac, and getting the visitor center all prepped and ready for visitors to come learn all about hunting and fishing.
You know, and this is, I mean, there's still downtime for a lot of people, which this 4th of July weekend coming up is going to be a madhouse. But you are prepping things. They're allowing you to open the door. And when did this all come down? Because this interview being scheduled with you, I had no inclination as to what's going on. I've really, unfortunately, kind of unplugged myself from the world because there's so much just negative energy going on from everywhere. And I said, you know, it's time for me to just take a step back and bring in some friends that we haven't talked to in a while.
I'm with you. And we've just been taking it day by day. And my chief and our executive team, I tell you what, they've been phenomenal to work with. But parks got going so they could get the campgrounds open, and we got lumped in with parks. And, you know, the interpretive visitor centers around the state got the go-ahead to return to work. And I'll tell you what, it's been a long season stuck indoors trying to educate folks. But, you know, if your viewers and your listeners have a chance, you know, we did some great videos while we were on lockdown on natural resources, especially for Earth Day. So, and we got some more coming out. Some great stuff this fall will be coming out video wise too. So keep your eyes open.
Speaking with Ed Shaw from the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center, we had the opportunity to first meet Ed up there and really get involved with the first bear seminar you had. We got to attend the ribbon cutting with Bob Garner, a great guy and steward of the outdoors. And this program, Ed, has just grown leaps and bounds. I can't even imagine what's happened since the first time we were there.
The Outdoor Skills Academy started with the Bear Clinic with 8 people, and it's grown into what you saw. I believe that year we had close to 300 bear hunters through the door, with most of them just really wanting an update on laws and regulations. You know, if you're not a regular bear hunter and you drew a tag, you know, you kind of want to know what's going on, or you don't want to get in trouble. You know, I find 99% of the hunters out there they're out there to do it right, and that's what they want to know. You know, they want to make sure that they're following the law, and I want to see them be successful. And I crunched the numbers last year for the first time and found that my bear hunters, the guys that take the course, have a 2% higher than normal success rate. So call that coincidence, call it what you will, but I get to say that my class increases your success.
Well, you know, I will speak for Russ Bartell, since he is not with us on the show today. Russ is a longtime friend of mine, and we first met at a shooting event with Tom, and his last name's escaped me, Tom Knapp. Years and years ago, where Russ, you know, I said, hey, I get this outdoor show, and he became interested, and we became best friends, and we attended that class together. And you know what? Speaking for Russ, that did increase his success rate, because the last two times he has been bear hunting, he has been successful, and a lot of that coming from the class.
That's the one class I get all, a bunch of pictures, and they say, thank you. Here's my bear. Everybody's proud of it, and I love to see those pictures. And, hey, we were successful, and this was great. You know, I see that a lot with that one. The Whitetail Clinic, we take people pheasant hunting, steelhead fishing. Those are the popular ones. And we can't forget the winter one, the ice fishing. So what those are going to look like this year is yet to be determined. But we will be doing some form of the bear clinic this year.
And Joe,
I don't know that it's going to be in person quite yet, but we might do something online. That's live, or we might do something here outdoors, and we just might not come inside. We might just do it all outside.
Ed Shaw is joining us here from the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center up in Cadillac, right there between Lake Mitchell and Lake Cadillac. A longtime friend of the show here, and a great guy, a great educator, and a man with patience, you know, of Job, I will say, because I don't sit still well. And Ed, you know, being the dad that you are, you have a lot of patience to teach a lot of people, and that right there says a lot. I have had such great experience with the Michigan DNR learning. When I drew my elk tag, it was the most frustrating thing I'd ever encountered in my life, because I didn't have the a rifle for elk hunting. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know anything about it. And they put me in touch with landowners, and, you know, my buddy Mark put me in, you know, lent me his gun. So, you know, it was a successful thing, much in part to the Michigan DNR. And, you know, although they didn't teach me, they helped me find places to go and property owners that had elk on their property that were actually kind of a nuisance, which was nice. But what you guys do there is priceless to me, because I learned things as many times as I've been bear hunting that I never knew before.
Well, and that's just it, is, you know, like I said before, if you draw a tag for the first time, or say you draw a Baldwin tag, well, that tells me you haven't hunted in 13 years. Well, you know, you may or may not be in tune with what's going on or what the new rules are. And, you know, they change every few years. They come out with new regulations or updated regulations, and there's more successful ways than other. So we like to, you know, show people what's out there, show them the ropes and how to do it and how to ethically do it. A few years ago, I drew my Michigan bear tag. About 2 years ago, I was successful myself. So, you know, it's a passion of mine. I love it. I love taking people out hound hunting. I love people helping them hunt, run over bait. You know, if you're in my area, I'd be glad to come out and help you. You know, it's just I do it on my own time, not just for work, and it's a passion of mine. That's what I love about it. You know, it's just a whole lot of fun, that's for sure.
Well, speaking with Ed Shaw here on the Conquest Sense Hotline here in Wild Michigan, believe me, I've got 10 points just sitting there waiting, and that Michigan black bear will complete my personal slam. Not the only trophies I have are in turkey hunting, which is the oddest thing. But you know, to get a Michigan black bear for me to, you know, get that big game slam here in Michigan would be great. I don't care about trophies or not. That's not what I'm here for. But, you know, bringing people like you on the show, that's what we're here for. We're going to do more here with Ed Shaw in a couple of seconds. He is at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. We're going to share more with what they have here coming up in just a few minutes. We are Wild Michigan, being brought to you by Not Just Guns of Mason. Go to the link at the Wild Michigan website for notjustguns.com.
make a living from walking in the woods. You can bet I'd be sitting pretty good, high on a hill, looking at a field downwind.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Happy to have them on board. Link to the United Deer Farmers of Michigan on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And we are back with Ed Shaw, interpreter for the Michigan DNR of the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center, located in Cadillac, right between Lake Mitchell and Lake Cadillac. A couple of great places. If you want to learn to fish, to ice fish, I know here we are, we're coming into July, but why am I talking about ice fishing? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Because one, it's going to get cold here in Michigan. We may not see the ice like we have in years past. Last year was kind of a rough time. But, you know, as I follow the trends of what's selling and whatnot, there's a lot of ice fishing gear coming up for sale. And I'm not going to say I just bought a whole bunch of it just because it was cheap. I'm just saying that maybe some of my friends are going to benefit from this whole thing just because, you know, I've got extra stuff coming. But Ed Shaw joining us right now on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Ed, your ice fishing school and what you do there, to me, is probably one of the coolest education platforms in the state, if not the coolest, because not only do you have guys like Norm Smith there helping people, but you've got electronics that they can use and get their hands on. You have gear for them to use, and it's all part of the deal, and it's all just so inexpensive to learn all this stuff. It's not even funny.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's thankful to my great sponsors out there, you know, folks like Norm who help out and donate their time. But the most important part is that is the one school, just like our friend Mark Martin, mm-hmm. he runs the DNR Mark Martin Walleye School. And, you know, we get many different pros from many different companies that come in to help teach that. So that's the neat part about that is, you know, we get the industry, the who's who, into the visitor center to help out with those classes. I mean, last year we did an advanced class and we beat the ice. I mean, we literally covered both Lake Mitchell and Cadillac from shore to shore, showing people this is how you fish. We just don't set up a tent. I mean, we drilled some holes, let me tell you. It's a lot of fun. But we just don't do stuff for ice fishing too. You know, we do a lot of stuff across the state as far as fly fishing and steelhead fishing goes. Mm-hmm. And those classes, you know, are just really geared to get the pros in the classroom with the students. It's a good opportunity. Like I said, you know, otherwise, how would you go fishing with Mark Martin? You know, these opportunities, you know, the Brandon Stanton, Mark Martin, and all these great pros that helped me run these classes, if it wasn't for them guys and my sponsors, they wouldn't be what they were today. But that's what it's grown into. Like you said, it started with 8 people in a bear class. Hard to believe that's what it is now, you know.
Exactly, and you know, I'm gonna drop another name like Steve Berry because he's a great guy and a good friend. This is hands on. You don't have to be a seasoned ice angler or a seasoned angler in general, because these are the people that have made the mistakes and have learned things along the way to teach you. The process of elimination has taken down so far that you can learn the basics and beyond, starting with the basics and going beyond your ability, you know, because, look, I learned so much of what I have accomplished in the outdoors because of this show. My dad taught me what he could teach me, but I was never really successful in deer hunting or turkey hunting. Because, one, my dad never really turkey hunted until, you know, I started doing it. I mean, actually, he'd been when it first started happening, but, you know, it was a one-time deal and never really did it. But because of this show, we get to talk to people like Cuz Strickland, or we talk to just so many people in this outdoor industry. One of them, Tom Nelson, which we'll be talking to, who we'll be talking to in a few minutes, really educated me in the sport of bow hunting. And then I harvested my first year because of Tom. You know, he'll never take that credit, but it's true. And this is what's so cool about these classes is you have the best people in the outdoors with the most generosity giving you their time to teach you to be more successful.
And that's what it's all about. It's, you know, failure is the first attempt in learning, right?
Absolutely.
It's taking all of my failure and putting it into your hands and teaching you, here's what I learned over the years. I'm not going to tell you I've never missed a deer because, those are the ones you remember. My grandpa always said, you know, you always remember the ones you miss. You know, you forget the few that you've actually got to shoot and find, but you always remember the ones you miss.
Trust me, you that true words have probably never been spoken on this show. And what's a story? You know what I mean? Without missing.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we've all had those opportunities. We've all had those stories where you draw back your bow and something clicks, or your arrow makes a noise, or when you draw it back, you know, learning the little things like putting felt on your arrow rest. You know, we did that when I was younger. You know, those little things like that, those are the things that we teach in the class. And you don't need to be an expert or in the middle, or you can be a beginner to come to these classes, because we really designed them to teach everyone from the beginning all through the different stages. You know, and especially when we do our fishing classes, we're able to break up out on the ice or break up out on the river, and we send the advanced students with our more advanced instructors, and we send the beginners out with other instructors, you know, and so they're at all different learning stages, and we try to break our classes up like that the best we can. Now, it always doesn't work out perfect, but, you know, I do my best when we got 30, 40 people in the classroom, and I've very rarely have found where, you know, where someone hasn't really came to the class and learned something. And the best part about it is now I'm getting students coming back wanting to help out and teach, because they've taken up that sport and they become passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And now they just want to help, because this is where it all started for them. So we're seeing it full circle now.
Ed Shaw,
pretty cool.
Ed Shaw, our guest here, a great guy, man. I enjoy talking with you. And yeah, you brought up some painful memories just now. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
the most painful of which was that trip in Canada bear hunting. And I'm sure the bear would tell the same story as well, that you got some jack wagon 15 yards staring him in the eyeball, taking a shot at him, you know, on the ground, not in a tree stand, on the ground while he was eating. And that arrow took off somewhere, you know, and I thought it hit a branch. And then he came back. He was definitely the dominant bear, about 300 pounds. Came back. I'm in the tree stand. I got about an 8-yard shot, and it goes between its legs. Comes back around the tree for, hey, stupid, I'm still here. You missed me. Well, that third shot went through the brisket, and it was all on film. Me walking up to the bear, me being in the tree and everything else. And a month later, when I got home and finally took my bow out of the case, I realized that my sight was loose from the ride on the quad. You can't.
And those are the ones you remember the most.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't be having this conversation about me taking a bear. Who cares? Ed Shaw, Carl T. Johnson, Hunting and Fishing Center. Thank you, man. Thank you so much for all you do. Look for them on the Michigan DNR website, and look for them in person, because they're back. Back in Wild Michigan, ready to teach you here on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host for almost 15 years here on the Michigan Talk Network. Very happy to be brought to you by our friends, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, and, of course, our friends at Conquest Sense. In Davison, Michigan, makers of VS1 and Evercalm, some great products, and all three great Michigan people, companies, you know, putting this show forward for you. And it's not often we can get our next guest to talk about himself. Believe me, it's almost never that we can get him to talk about himself. And no, I'm not talking about Ted Nugent, because God bless Ted. I love him. I really do. And if I want to talk about Ted, Ted will talk about Ted all day long. But to get Tom Nelson to open up about himself is very difficult, even though we've been very good friends for the whole 15 years we've been doing this show. Tom has always been about the outdoors and about other people and who's taught him and how he can help. But and I think one way Tom is going to be able to help us is to talk about Tom for once. And he joins us on the show on the Conquest Sense hotline right now. Mr. Nelson, host of the American Archer, how are you?
Good, Duran. It's great to be here today.
Buddy, and this is a big deal. This is almost like an exclusive here. Definitely an exclusive for radio, I can tell you that. Because you are just one of the most humble, one of the most giving guys I know, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Very kind words.
And it's crickets after that coming from Tom. But we got a phone call. You know, I got a phone call and a message actually from your wife, Beth. God bless her. I love her to death. You know, hey, Tom had open heart surgery. Everything is fine. Tom's fine. He didn't have a heart attack. And I mean, imagine the shock, Tom, that I got. What? Oh, like, you know, I had to stop for 2 seconds and think, do you think Tom would ever tell me anything like that? No. It's got to come from Beth when Tom's like unconscious on a table somewhere. Dude, I mean, you're like one of the healthiest, most active guys I know. Almost 25 years you've been doing American Archer?
Yes, yes.
And you run 5-10 miles a day. You know, you don't smoke. I mean, you're just healthy because of what you do with the show. You're always out and active and out and about. And all of a sudden, wait a minute, Tom has to have open heart surgery. Tom, what led up to that? How did this all come about?
It's just a crazy story. And Duran, as I mentioned to you before we went on the air, it's just a story that I haven't really told because it's, you know, it's personal and at times it's hard for me to talk about it and things, but you know, it all started. I go in every year and let me just back up a little bit. As you mentioned, I work out every day. I seldom miss a day. I run, you know, 5-6 miles. Now I'm talking pre-surgery, 5-6 miles every day. I'm a competitive runner. I run in 5, 10 Ks, half marathons and have for close to 40 years. That's besides next to bone running. That's my hobby. And so, like everybody should, I go in for a yearly physical. I started doing that when I was around 50, and I just go in and get the once over, make sure everything's working right. And so I'm at my family doctor, and he finishes up. Yeah, everything looks good, and let me listen to your old ticker. And he spends a little extra time listening, and he gets done. He said, Tom, you know, I'm just hearing something I'm not sure. I'm just not comfortable with. I'm going to send you in for an echocardiogram. So I'm like, okay. So fast forward a couple weeks, I go in for an echocardiogram, and the young lady gets done with a test and said, okay, we're all done. And I said, all right. So I get up to put my shirt on and stuff, and she said, just stay right there. Go ahead and lay down. I want a cardiologist to look at something. So I'm going, this can't be very good. So she disappears, comes back in about 15 minutes, said, okay, you're all set. Go ahead and get dressed. I said, well, what's up? Well, I can't tell you. You'll have to talk to your doctor. And I'm like, well, great. So I have to wait again. And to make a long story short, I had the mitral valve on the backside of your heart was just kind of flapping in the wind. So this is their description or terms, not mine. I had excessive regurgitation from the heart back into my lungs. From this mitral valve, my heart would pump and the blood, it wouldn't close and the blood would just flow back. And it was kind of a mess. And so they sent me to see a cardiologist. And his first words after looking, he looks at my chart and he says, so are you tired all the time? I said, no, not at all. And he said, really? I said, no. He said, well, like if you walk up a flight of stairs, are you winded? And I kind of chuckled and I said, no. I said, I ran six miles this morning before I came in for this meeting and appointment. And 2 weeks ago, I ran a half marathon, and he grabs a paper again and he looks at it and he goes, well, this can't be right. That's impossible. And I said, well, that's what I did. And he said, well, then this has got to be wrong. I'm sending you in for an EET where they run the camera down and look at your heart. A couple weeks go by, I go in for that, and lo and behold, it comes back and oh, yeah, he says, you're in trouble.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was something I totally, he didn't expect. He said, you're like an anomaly. You shouldn't be able to do anything that you're doing, these hunts, you know, your workouts in the morning. He said, I've never seen anybody be able to do that. But so they scheduled open heart surgery for me. They said, I figured they were going to run up through an artery, you know, sure, patch a valve, whatever has to be done. I wasn't overly worried. But then he's like, he said, we're going to have to crack you open. And I said, what? So, yeah. So the rest is all, you know, waiting, going into the hospital, having surgery, 11 days in the hospital, and being, you know, like I said, they split me right open like a fish. So, but I'm doing well. They patched me up, and I'm on the road to recovery, as they say.
Tom Nelson, our guest here, is speaking with us on the Conquest Sense Hotline, host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel, one of the longest running shows on outdoors television in general right now. And Tom, I mean, you know, you gotta be sitting there. I mean, I can just see you sitting there with this puzzled look that I've seen on your face before, going, "What? Wait. Just I ran 6 miles this morning, and now you've gotta crack my chest open, go in and fix whatever's wrong." Dude, I mean, honestly, I can't even fathom. I mean, if it were me to walk in there, knowing me and my physical health and, you know, things of that nature, I would say, okay, great, I get it, but not you. You're not that guy.
Yeah, it was completely from left field. I mean, I didn't see it coming. I had, you know, actually no symptoms. I was non-symptomatic, and so, you know, makes you question, you know, well, why do I need this? I feel fine. I'm doing everything, you know, chasing elk in Montana, doing mountain hunts. I had no problem at all. And he said, if you don't go in and have this, he said, you'll likely be one of those people you read about that's out on a run and tips over because of, he said, you'll probably, and he was very honest. He said, probably within a year, he said, you will have a massive heart attack that it's unlikely you'll survive. So that scared me a lot. So albeit I didn't want to do the surgery, it's better than being, you know, upside down too. So,
well, exactly. You know what? And I can point out two cases of, you know, a mutual friend of ours with Bill who had the massive heart attack and passed away. Mind you, that guy, there's a lot of things that he shouldn't have been alive for. God bless him. But Bill Yoder, speaking of, I mean, you know, wild animal, you know, handler and things of that nature. I mean, that guy had luck like nobody's business. But to have that happen was still a shock to have that massive heart attack. And he passes like that. My wife's uncle, same thing. Shoveling passes away just instantly from a massive heart attack. And, you know, and I'll be honest, I'm that guy that has not gone for a physical and for years and years. And this year I will, because my wife told me about how mad she would be if I were to just drop dead. So I can't have her mad at me, alive or otherwise.
Yeah.
So,
and Duran, I'm a perfect example. I mean, I felt great. I worked out. Had I not went in for an annual physical, I mean, the surgeon even told me afterwards, he said, thank your family doctor. He saved your life.
All right. Tom Nelson, we're going to hear more from him here in a couple of minutes. The amazing story of the American Archer here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State via our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up all the things that we have to offer there, and that's all being brought to you by friends at Not Just Guns. Their website, notjustguns.com. Click on the link when you're visiting wildmichiganradio.com. That'll take you right to Not Just Guns and their website. Some great guys, Mike Green and the staff over there. They are truly everything for the firearm owner, enthusiast, and the newbie, if you will. So please check them out, notjustguns.com, via the Wild Michigan website. Back with our good friend Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer, and I've been talking about something that's been very private up until this point, and I'm very thankful to have this opportunity. to talk with Tom about this, to open up about this, pardon the pun, Tom, about your surgery, your open heart surgery, 7.5 hours of your heart not beating while they repair what was wrong. And you probably have no recollection of being unconscious at that point.
You know, I don't. I remember, you know, being prepped for surgery, and I thought to myself, I want to stay awake as long as I can to see what's going on. And I remember him wheeling me in to the surgery room and all the bright lights and such, and thinking, oh, wow, this is pretty impressive. And honestly, I don't know what they gave me. I was out. And I don't, the next thing I remember was my wife talking to me in recovery as she was trying to, they were trying to wake me up. And it was kind of a blur. The first few days, honestly, I remember bits and pieces, but they keep you pretty sedated.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I can remember things that happened. I remember seeing my daughter and my wife and things, but the first probably 2 or 3 days were kind of a blur and such. And I can't hardly even remember. And then they moved me out of ICU and into what they call a step down room, which is where they take cardiac patients and stuff, and still under pretty close watch and such. But again, I was in there 11 days while they, you know, made sure everything was working right. And they did have a little trouble getting my heart to beat at the correct rhythm where they wanted it. They just wanted to beat slow. But part of that ended up being because I was in good shape and my heart didn't need to beat as fast. So things all got corrected and such. And then, and I felt like I don't even know how to describe it. Like you had just been dragged behind a freight train, you know. Man, I was, it took everything I had, you know, just to get, they want you, of course, to get out of bed in a sitting position right away. And I just remember that, how that, you know, took everything I had to get out of that hospital bed and sit down in a chair and little things. And then, of course, you had to walk before you went home. And I was wanting out of there, something fierce. So I was trying to speed everything up a little bit, but I got home. It took a little while, like I said, 11 days in the hospital, and I lived in a lazy boy chair the first few days. And thank God for my wife Beth. She was, couldn't have had a better person to take care of me at home and such. And had a visiting nurse that came in and checked on you and checked your vitals and things. But everybody that I surrounded myself with really, really helped and made for made a difficult time easier, I guess.
Well, and that's good, man, because it's, I can only imagine. I hope to God that I never have to go through something like that. And because of my beautiful wife, who is so demanding about me being healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate that. And I'm not saying I've never had that in my life, but Sarah has a way of being a bit more convincing than people I've known in the past.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's, you know, I mean, look, I've already been to the you know, ReadyCare twice the past couple of weeks because something I did in my back, and it's still not right, but that's not slowing me down. I'm going forward, and I will be getting that physical here pretty soon. But the recovery time, and I see people, and I have friends that have had the same surgery. My good friend Dr. Todd Baum out in Grand Ledge, who is my dentist and great friend of mine, and some other people I know have had the same, you know, open heart surgery. And you know, you see them in the beginning, and they're hunched over, and they can't laugh, and God forbid if you sneeze, dude, because I can just see on their face how much it hurts, you know.
Laughing, coughing, sneezing probably were the three most painful things that you tried to avoid, because, you know, your chest, basically, like in my case, you know, they put you back together, and your sternum is basically cartilage, and it never really heals like bone does. So they wire you together. I'm wired together in 5 different spots that with a wire that's about size of a number 10-pound monofilament line, and that's what's going to basically hold me together. And then they, you know, glue you basically shut after that. But it took a bit. I as soon as I could, started trying, you know, walking as much as possible and and the surgery was this winter, so I was walking outdoors, and you had to be careful because they said if you ever fell, you know, you'd break yourself open again. I mean, they scare the heck out of you when they send you home, you know.
Great. So
they almost want you in a bubble. But then again, you know, to recover quicker, the faster you're out there moving and the farther you can go. So I started walking a couple hundred yards, which sounds like, you know, not much, but it was all I could do to walking, you know, a quarter mile, then a half mile, and then a mile. And I just kept setting goals that I was going to increase. And, you know, Duran, I was going to cardiac rehab. After 8 weeks, you can start going to rehab. And then this coronavirus hit.
Right.
When COVID came in, of course, they had to close all that down. So I had to put together my own rehab program. And I did. I would go into the school track and walk and then jog a little and walk and jog. And every week I increased it. And now I'm up to, and it's a slower pace. I'll be honest, it's much slower pace than pre-surgery, but I'm running 3 miles, 3.5 every morning. I did a 5-mile run on Sunday, and this, I'm getting back there, albeit slow. I had in my head, oh, shoot, in a couple months, I'll be right back to normal. And this will be, well, it kind of humbled me.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know what? And I don't even want to think about, you know, I mean, look, bow hunting has been your thing, man. That's been your bread and butter. And how has that affected it? It's because everything is right there that you use.
Well, I'm very fortunate that my good friend, Mike Liffert, who you know, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
He actually had open heart surgery a couple years ago. And he's an archery instructor, coach, you know, level 4 coach. He was a wealth of information because I said, Mike, what did you do? And once I was cleared, I had to be cleared because the two worst things or hardest on your sternum after open heart surgery is number one, bowling, which I never thought about, but they said bowling is incredibly hard on you and you shouldn't do. And you think about the motion with a heavy ball and throwing it, you know, pulling yourself apart. And number two on the list was archery. And I said, and my wife chuckled when they told us that. And they said, oh, do you shoot a bow? And I said, yeah, that's how I make my living. And the guy didn't quite understand that, but then I explained it to him. And he's like, you'll be a little while before you can do that. So I had to wait a minimum of 12 weeks before he could even attempt it. So I took a bow, got a lightweight recurve, started drawing that. I could shoot it 4 or 5 times, 25-pounder. Then I took my wife's compound after a week or two, and that was set at like 42 pounds, and I could draw that back 4 or 5 times and shoot it. So I just started doing that, and then I took one of my, after I got to where I could shoot 10, 12 arrows, you know, and take a break and shoot 10, 12, I took one of my old bows and cranked it down to 45 pounds, as low as I could get it, started shooting it, but I'm up to about 52 pounds now.
Nice.
And it's late June. I'll be ready to go come fall, I assure you.
Just incredible, man. What a story. And to share that with us, something you've kept very quiet, even for me, is, you know, and I'm not saying I have the inside track to everything Tom Nelson. I'm not going to say that. But to be able to share that with us here, I mean, you know, and guys, gals, please get the physical, get checked. And I know that I'm preaching out of turn here, but I'll be doing it too. I promise I'll be doing it this year. I'll update everybody on just the general things. You don't need to know everything. If I'm okay, I'll let you know I'm okay. If not, you'll know I'm going to be taking some time off. But Tom Nelson, God bless, man. I'm glad that you are on the mend. You're making your way back, and the 2020 season will not keep you down, brother.
Thank you, Grant. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Look for him online, The American Archer. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, and our website. There's a link right to Tom Nelson as well at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, Conquest Sense, and, of course, United Deer Farmers of Michigan here on the Michigan Talk Network.